Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
You don't find this much energy, enthusiasm, intelligence, skill, throwing good looks. You name it. It's here at the FFA convention, and it's here this week. 110 chapters more so of these programs in Montana. It's growing sort of exponentially as well, and they're gathering here. They're competing. They're campaigning. Hopefully, learning, laughing, making new friends, like it ought to be. Youth programs are worth it today, and about 1,200 to 1,500 FFA members, mentors here in Billings, Montana. We are live from the 94th Annual Montana FFA State Convention today on Voices of Montana. We'll find out what this is all about today. A good fun-filled hour, informative here too. And if folks are wondering, what's the mindset of our kids today? It is to move the ball forward in a lot of places here at this FFA convention. Good to have you alongside again. Tom Schultz here. Let's say hello to Joe Lackman. Joe is I'm going to have to call you a former ag intern broadcaster, and you've been scrambling, getting all this stuff going together here and with the Montana FFA. How you doing, Joe?
Tom, I'm doing great. And you know, maybe I should try out for a marathon later today because I have been scrambling, but it's been for a good cause. And we have a bunch of FFA members here. We're excited for the show, Tom.
That's good. Sweet. And we'll wipe the sweat off your brow as we go. We're going to talk about education here too, and ag education. Probably a lot of new things going on there as we see new technology. So we've got new ways of teaching that technology. And of course, the data sets that we're getting now. So Dr. Dustin Perry from Montana State University, Rich Dara, and Eric Tillman with the Office of Public Instruction to join us a bit later on. We'll also talk leadership. Summit Browning, Sean Billingsley are members of the Montana FFA. They're FFA officers for the state. Be alongside with Kurt Robbins, who's the FFA Foundation president. First off, though, it's Claire Murnion, the chapter secretary for Shepherd. And Claire, you're involved in so many things. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Of course. I'm good. How are you doing today?
Doing real good. I'm looking forward to chatting with you. And Grant Norfleet, the National FFA Secretary. He's actually from Missouri. Good morning, Grant. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I'm having a wonderful morning here in Montana.
I'm glad to hear that, too, and you should, right?
Of course.
What's the weather like in Missouri right now?
You know, Missouri, we're hitting this warm spell like we're doing here in Montana as well. So we're hitting that warm spell in the Midwest, and we're hoping we're making our way out of the winter for sure.
Gotcha. Thank you again, both of you, for being here. Claire, let's talk with you first. And as I kind of did a little bit of looking around on what Claire Murnion is into, it's a long list of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Talk about your involvement in ag and why you're pursuing it as, and we'll talk about some of these things you're in as aggressively as you are.
Yes. So I've been involved in the agriculture industry for my entire lifetime. My dad was a regional manager for the American Angus Association, and from there it really sparked a passion for being involved in the Angus breed and the agriculture industry. And since then I've been able to grow my own cow herd, and when I was old enough, I joined the National FFA organization, and since then, it has continued to grant me many opportunities that have allowed me to be here today.
I had a dog when I was growing up, not a cow herd. Nice work on that. And Grant, talk about your involvement. You're obviously at the national level. You campaigned, and they elected you the FFA secretary. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm very similar to Claire. Grew up in the agriculture industry on a beef cow calf operation in Northeast Missouri. So I've always had those production roots on a row crop operation as well. But my passions in agriculture also lie in education and literacy, focusing on our youth, how we can better encourage them to learn more about agriculture, share the story of our industry, and ultimately become better advocates.
And Claire, that's something that with your love for agriculture that you've just done naturally, being a mentor to others.
Yes, I absolutely love advocating for the agriculture industry. I have my own social media campaign called 365 Days of Agriculture, and it's really allowed me to bring light to agriculture, to people who know about it and people who don't, and it's allowed me to teach others about the industry that provides so much for us every single day.
So that's on Facebook, 365 days
of agriculture is on Instagram.
Instagram,
actually.
Okay. Yes, what's that? I'm just kidding. I know what that is. I'm just showing the divide here.
Oh, Tom, you know, we're certainly reaching out to more folks, and I think social media is very important. I want to maybe expand about that, about how are we educating our students in the classroom. And Claire, you're a student at Shepherd High School. Your ag teacher, Stacy Dietz, would be perhaps a very big mentor to you. Maybe speak to how our ag educators are helping out with students in Montana FFA.
Yes. So my advisor has allowed me to have many opportunities. She has been the person who has pushed me to get to where I am today because of Ms. Dietz. I am a public speaker. I have learned so many skills. She was the person who encouraged me to get involved in contests like the Creed contest and employment skills. And without her, I would probably be in a corner somewhere sitting by myself. But clearly I'm not anymore. I'm here on the radio today. So I've definitely grown a lot, and I that's mainly because of Ms. Dietz.
Oh, and I'm sure she loves to hear that, too.
Great, Claire. And I think maybe let's expand further, right? Montana FFA has a variety of contests. We call them career development events and leadership development events. I know you've been very involved, and in fact, we saw you up on stage here at a few sessions ago. Maybe speak to your competitive journey in Montana FFA.
Yes, so I started off with a lot of contests that a lot of younger members do, like Creed, conduct of chapter meetings, things like livestock judging, a little bit of everything. And since then, I've continued to grow to competing in things like prepared public speaking, agricultural sales, ag communications. And through competing in all these different contests, I've been able to learn all sorts of different things about all the aspects of the agriculture industry. And I know that the soft skills that I'm developing right now because of these contests will definitely help set me up for success.
Grant, who threw you a rope when you were, and led you, who mentored you in this process?
Certainly. So, you know, in agricultural education, we have so many opportunities to have mentors. So whether that's the advisors in our home chapter, or I even had several advisors in neighboring chapters that also served as mentors. But one mentor that really sticks out to me in my career in the FFA was Lauren Quinlan. She was a senior when I was a freshman FFA member. And, you know, she took me under her wing, showed me all the opportunities the FFA had to offer. And, you know, the rest is history is what I say. And so I think it's really important that we have those older chapter members and those students in leadership positions, whether that's myself at the national level or students like Claire who serve at the chapter level, finding ways to engage those younger students and show them what this organization can truly do to not only make an impact on your life, but the lives of those around you.
And Grant, I had an opportunity earlier here in this week to actually witness one of your shops, facilitating, you know, member success with our membership. It was a greenhead workshop. I was wondering if you can maybe speak to, you know, your impact as a national officer with our members and maybe some of the duties that you're holding here at State Convention.
Sure. So as a national officer, I get the opportunity to visit a variety of state FFA conventions, and my five other teammates are doing the same. So in Montana this week, I've had the opportunity to address the entire convention on stage with my keynote address. But one of my favorite things I've been getting to do is put on leadership workshops for students that get to come hang out with me in a classroom for about an hour. We do some fun things, but at the end of the day, we focus on how we can make an impact as leaders. So with that Green Hand workshop that Joe got to sit in on with me, we focused with our younger FFA members to discovering our own leadership identity and the things that make us up as leaders and the impacts we have had on us and our organization.
So you have a chance to talk with kids if they come in and sort of the guards go down a little bit and you're talking about the issues. What do they bring to you? What's the mindset of our kids nowadays as they look toward their futures?
I'm glad you asked this, Tom. One of my favorite things to do at conventions like this is to sit down with FFA chapters. You know, I had dinner with Claire's chapter last night. I sit with random chapters out in the audience during session, and just getting to hear students and their stories is one of the most rewarding parts of this opportunity I have serving as a national officer. And students are just as passionate about agriculture today than where they were when we founded this organization. And I think what students are really focusing on is how we can make agriculture a better place for tomorrow. What is the technology that we can implement today so we can make agriculture for the next generation of FFA members to be as impactful. So not only are we working with production agriculture, but we're evolving in ways to make it even a more sustainable and efficient manner of practice as well.
Claire Mernion, I'm going to throw that same question. Well, not quite the same question. I'm going to ask you in context to that, what's your vision for the future? What do you see is going to be meaningful to you in your life?
Well, there's a lot of different things. I think agriculture is definitely one of the bigger ones in my life. It's really granted me a lot of opportunities that I have today. And I know that I want to continue to advocate for the agriculture industry. It's one of my favorite things that I do. Clearly, I post every single day on social media, even on long days where I've been at convention all day. I love to do it. And so I think for me personally, I want to continue to advocate on a national and even a statewide level, especially with our legislature, try to fight for the farmers and ranchers with our politicians so that way we can hopefully continue to have an agriculture industry to feed our growing population.
It's so vital, too, because an informed public makes better decisions. And when we talk about our food, food security rises right to the top of a lot of concerns for people. So thank you for getting out there and doing the education. Thanks for having all the fun that you guys are having here as well and making new friends. How's the cow herd? They doing okay?
They're doing great.
All right. That's good to hear. Grant Norfelt, Norfleet, pardon me, with a national FFA, the secretary, and then Claire Mernion from Shepherd and the chapter secretary. Thank you.
Thank you. Sweet stuff.
Why don't you guys take a moment here. Let's introduce Tom Anders and also let me get my notes out here. It's Anders Peterson, right? Eden Peterson. Sorry, thank you. Are those turned on? Yeah, well, speak right into them.
Well, hi there.
Tom Anders, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, yeah.
Good. Right into there.
We're working really hard on that tiny house, and hopefully we'll have it done today.
Joe, tell me what this is going on, what this is.
It is a fantastic project, and our FFA advisor, Mr. Andres here, he's actually getting students from all across Montana to come in and work hands-on building process where they're building tiny homes right outside the Expo Center here in Billings, Montana. And he's getting folks from all sorts of chapters. In fact, he's going to mentor them. This is an incredible ag educator who has done well in the classroom, and he's transferring his skills onto students. And I'll let Tom Andres maybe speak a little bit more to it here.
Okay, so the Tiny House Program has two objectives. The first objective is to create some affordable homes in Montana, which we're in dire need of. But it's also hopefully to generate more tradesmen in Montana as well, because that's something else that our country is screaming for. So those are the two objectives behind the program. And how this program works is a teacher from anywhere in Montana, an ag teacher, can apply for a tiny house kit. In that kit is a Connex box that's filled with all of the things that you need, every tool, every piece of material, every board to build a house. And there's also a detailed set of plans and a curriculum that goes with it. So they'll get this kit, and they'll build the house, and then it'll be picked up and turned into a fourplex for affordable homes for maybe homeless veterans or a program like that.
Aiden Peterson, you're from the Missoula FFA.
Yes, I am.
Can you bend a pretty good nail?
I can.
Talk about the experience. What have you learned in building these tiny houses, and how does it interest you in maybe looking into it further?
I've learned so much from framing to building everything. I've always wanted to go into the trades my whole life, so this is a really good kickstart for me.
What do you think about how when you kids come together, does it look like they know what they're doing? How do you mentor other kids through this process?
It's all about teaching. You just have to teach them. You'll get to know them. I've made so many friends just with this week.
Yeah, yeah. The building skills in and of itself. Is that something, like you said, you've always had appreciation for it, but as you look at your career, what goes through your mind?
I'm just having fun out there.
Tom, that's probably a good place to start and maybe even a good place to end, huh?
Right.
Just having fun there.
Yeah, we're having a great time. I think the kids are really learning a lot, and I think they feel real proud of what they're doing.
Right.
You know, the fact that they're providing a nice service for our community. Yeah, I think they're walking away with a lot of pride.
Aiden, is that true? Do you have that sense of pride in completing that project?
Just watching it come together, so amazing.
Yeah, and
What school do you go to?
I'm going to Big Sky.
Big Sky in Missoula?
Yeah.
How's the egg program there? Tom?
It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Well, I'm having a good time there at least.
Yeah, that's good. So that's what's going on here, right, Joe? They're building this little tiny house. So I'm hearing the hammering and no four-letter words, so good job over there. That, you can pick that up from some job sites. Yeah. Tom, thank you so much for doing what you do as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so this project in particular, Aiden, where's it going to end up? Do you know?
We're just trying to make affordable housing for everyone. So yeah. I'm not sure where it's going to go yet, but it's going to go somewhere.
That's nice. Good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Yep. Tom Andrews and also Aiden Peterson, too, with the Missoula FFA. Joe Lackman is with us here again. He's the hustler for Montana FFA. You've been out there hustling like crazy, haven't you?
You know, and I'll let Kurt Robbins here speak a little bit to it, but I have, you know, we're sitting here in a trade show at convention. We have over 30 booths, and that's a variety of folks. We got AgWest Nielsen right next to us, Montana Farm Bureau right beside us as well. So we have business and industry professionals, but we also have a few colleges here as well to recruit some of our students. And we're looking forward to future education, and I think FFA provides those opportunities for them.
Joe Lackman once again. And who was with us? Summit Browning, first vice president out of Paradise Valley. Summit?
Yes, sir. That's me.
What? Those are pipes. Those are radio pipes right there. Nice work. And also Sean Billingsley, second vice president. Sean, where are you from?
I'm from Missoula FFA.
All right, Missoula FFA. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great today. Honored to be here. You
guys having a good convention?
It's been an absolute wonderful time meeting new people, and really the trade show this year is great. We have probably one of the most people we've had here ever.
Summit, how about you?
Yeah, it's been a beautiful week here at convention. Just being able to mingle with the members, see the future of Montana FFA growing up before our eyes is just an incredible experience.
Kurt Robbins, previously mentioned, is with the FFA Foundation and president. Good morning, Kurt. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us here today.
Thank you for being here today. As I looked at what the foundation does and your mission there, it just says we support Montana FFA members. And there's a lot of ways to that they get support because they're into a lot of things here. But the value of youth programs today, when we look at some of the challenges our kids are facing, it's immeasurable.
Oh, it sure is. And that's one thing at the foundation we strive very hard, is to be able to provide opportunities for all these students. You know, we're dealing with close to 7,000 students throughout the state of Montana, and we're trying to develop programs for their leadership skills, not only in the classroom and taking those experiences, but also taking those to develop them for lifelong skills. And so programs like today, with this week here in Billings, and all the opportunities that these kids have had to work with in their classrooms, take those skills, bring them in front of all of their peers, and be able to compete on a very competitive level, it's been pretty amazing. You know, Joe mentioned earlier about our trade show. That's one thing that the foundation really supports. And that you look around this vast room and about 30 different vendors, all sorts of things, and that this is the sign of support that we have throughout the state of Montana. Huge sponsorship.
And this is a convention, though, as well. So Summit Browning, first vice president, there is some FFA business to kind of go through, and you guys do it very efficiently. Talk about that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So the delegate process is multi-leveled in FFA. There's both national delegates as well as state level. Us as state officers served as national delegates and discussed many items of business at the national convention. However, here at state convention, the delegates met yesterday two different times, I believe, to discuss different business that'll shape the future of Montana FFA.
Sean Billingsley, second vice president, you ran for state office and were successful in that campaign. Now that you're in that leadership position, does it look a little different?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really cool experience to look back at where I was just a year ago and think back to all the time spending in the holding rooms waiting to run for state office, as well as running around to different contests. It's really been eye-opening to take a step back and now see all those members running around to the different contests and hear about all the happenings in the holding room for the state office candidates.
And Kurt, that's an important way to maybe not necessarily teach leadership, but leadership comes through that process, doesn't it?
For sure, Tom, and that's one thing that really you can kind of, the cream rises to the top, and we see that, and that's what we're building the entire time. You know, Summit, talk a little bit about what your project is and where you came from, because it's a pretty unique entrepreneur program that you've put together.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So in sales, in FFA, I did sales as my main event, and ultimately after I graduated high school, that turned into a business of my very own. I now own SBRB Cowboy Coffee. It's in over 33 stores all across the state. And it's really helped me. I'm even sponsoring state convention here, but it's been FFA really led me down that road.
So. S-Bar Beef Coffee.
S-Bar B Cowboy Coffee.
S-Bar B. I'm going to want to say it so people get it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to add, you know, I think Sean could speak to this next question, the fact that within ag education and most over FFA, we're calling our students to take on projects like Summit here. And in fact, they're asked to provide those supervised ag experiences. Sean, why don't you speak to that and the impact on its members?
Yeah. So through the SAE program, or as Joe stated, the supervised agriculture experience program, what that means is that every FFA member across the nation has to have one. And what it is it can be anywhere from, for example, Summit Browning's Cowboy Coffee, where you're selling a product that you're producing, to mowing lawns on the side, or even just working at your local feed store or any job. And so what that allows is it allows students to get real world experience while they're in high school and really build the next generation of productive people in the workforce and in the world.
Summit, if I was to say, what real world experience do you, that comes to mind in you putting together your own coffee company?
Yeah, that I learned from FFA?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was heavily involved in sales since I was in seventh grade. I even was able to compete on the national level, and that really taught me a lot of customer service skills, as well as just being able to communicate and sell myself as well as a product. Running for state office was also a huge part of that, being able to sell myself per se. But it really helps me in day-to-day life, because I literally do just walk into a store and offer them my product. And with this product, I also donate part of my profits back to FFA and Farm Bureau to support the next generation of agriculturalists.
And something to keep in mind, folks, is that if you go to montanaffa.org, you can check on our website, and there's an economic impact on that. And we have currently had over $5 million of economic impact within the state of Montana. And I want to maybe ask the state officers in the sense of, where do you see the value of future projects with our FFA membership? And do you think that they're excited to take on future SAEs with new technology and everything else coming into ag?
Yeah, I think that it is. Truly, it's limitless. I mean, the possibilities for these students to take their SAEs to the next level is truly limitless. I mean, there are so many great ideas that students have that we've heard just here at State Convention alone, and hearing about SAEs that will be coming out in the next year is honestly some of the most inspiring things that we get to hear as state officers.
And that's one thing, us at the foundation, that's what we're excited about, is all the new programs and so forth that's coming forth, and then we find all these new revenue streams to help support that. And so we're finding all kinds of different streams that, you know, non-agricultural type industries are coming forward now and saying, hey, we see the worth in our kids. We see the worth in these students. They're the type of people we want in our workforce. And so we're really starting to nourish and prosper those relationships as well. And so I think that's a tribute to what the programs are doing. And then we have these guys like this that are coming through with the blue jacket and helping promote the program very, very well for us.
I'm going to ask this question to both you guys, because you've already kind of accepted the mantle of leadership. You understand, I think, the value of values. Summit, what do you see for the future? Whether it's you finding meaning in your life, or what are kids struggling with that you'd like to address? Just look down the road 10, 20 years and tell me what it's going to be like in Summit Browning's world.
Well, for me, I'm really hoping my dream since I was 8 years old was to own a ranch of my own. That's why I started the coffee company, so I could hopefully afford that dream one day. So I'm really hopeful 10 to 20 years down the road that I can achieve that dream of mine. As for the other kids in FFA, I think a lot of them share similar dreams, but a lot of them also go to achieve amazing things in like the tech worlds, the corporate world, stuff like that. In almost every Fortune 500 company, you'll find a kid that was in FFA nearly at the top. So,
Sean, what are you anxious to get into or explore as you find a career?
Yeah, I wish I could say that I had my life kind of figured out like Summit here.
Yeah.
But really, for the last year, I've been focusing on day by day and making sure that I can help and impact members across the nation. Something that's really important to me is mentorship. And finding the people in our state association this past year that I could, you know, maybe mentor or give my two cents in and help them maybe through a tough time. And I think that in terms of going off of what Summit said about the, you know, the vast majority of industries, like Kurt said, that are now coming into FFA. And really, FFA is growing into not just agriculture, but agriculture and. So instead of strictly, you know, having cows, plows, and sows, we're now looking to the next generation and seeing, you know what, the workforce is needed across all industries. How can we add, rather than just ag, how can we add in some of those components into the tech industries, into some of those computer science industries as well?
Nice. I look forward to chatting with you guys down the road, too, and thank you for what you do. I'm out of time here. Kurt Robbins, good stuff. Thank you. The FFA Foundation can always use support as well, so contact the FFA Foundation to give these kids, Summit Browning, first vice president, Sean Billingsley, second vice president, the help that they're making pay for sure. Thank you, guys. This has been a fun convention. It continues on. Some 1,500 FFA members and mentors gathering here. They're campaigning for officer spots. They're competing in a lot of different competitions here. And they're also, I hope, learning and laughing and living life like we ought to. Welcome back here. Joe Lackman is with us. He's been with the Montana FFA and, of course, a former ag broadcaster for us here as an intern. Joe, I appreciate you setting all this up, and I've said it a couple of times, but when convention comes, it takes an awful lot of work to get done, so thank you for pouring into it.
Moreover, Tom, I want to thank the volunteers that we've had this week. They've been incredible, and when we have over 2,000 folks here at the Metro for the first time ever, we're needing the folks in Billings, and they came to the call. We appreciate their support, and moreover, we appreciate the ag teachers bringing their students to the Magic City as well.
What's really cool about this is that now as we focus on ag education, all of this is ag education, but it's a lot more to a lot of hands-on stuff. Let's welcome our panel. Dr. Dustin Perry is with Montana State University. He's the head of the Department of Agricultural and Technology Education. Good morning, Dustin. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. Rich Dara, to his right, or his left, I guess, ag teacher at Kalispell, the ag center up there. Going good, is it?
It sure is, yes.
Nice.
And good morning. Thank you for having us.
And also with the Montana Association of Agricultural Educators. And yes. Then from the Office of Public Instruction, it's Eric Tillman. How are you doing, Eric?
Doing good.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Ag agricultural specialist, or do you have like an eight-name title?
Nope. Agricultural specialist for the state of Montana.
That's good. How is agriculture education in the state of Montana?
Hey, I tell you what, we're evolving. It's not just cows, plows, and sows anymore. We're cells, gels, and dells. We're moving up. There's a lot of technology. There's a lot more precision agriculture that our teachers are having to learn how to teach these students, because there's a lot of fields in agriculture that aren't even, we can't even imagine where it's going to go. But
and Rich, same for you. I mean, you're day to day in front of those kids as well. When you're out there, how are they learning nowadays?
Oh, just about every way possible. You know, of course, we have the three-circle model where they're in the classroom, they're doing the leadership, they're doing the SAE, and having our ag center up there, we have about 400 kids that come out between both the high schools up there in Kalispell, and then that's on a daily basis, and they're out there doing classroom stuff and going out. We got about 140 acres that they're farming on, and we got some livestock, and I mean, that every way possible. And then, of course, we're incorporating the technology and all the latest things out there in industry into that as best we can.
I want to get into that, too. Dr. Perry, though, those numbers are impressive. The number of kids, I think, in ag education in Montana.
Yeah, absolutely. And our role at MSU is, I think, to try to bridge some of the gap from the high school ag ed programs to meeting the needs of the high school ag teachers in the state, trying to recruit kids from as diverse backgrounds as we can. To really target the changing demands of what agriculture is and what it's becoming.
Let's get into that then, because I think we understand, and I think the wave is not over, or maybe it's ups and downs, but there's still a lot of technology, new data sets, new ways of processing. Tell me what ag education is today because of all that.
It is. That's a great question. It has absolutely changed, as Mr. Tillman just mentioned a second ago there. And it's even reflected in our departmental name. We just used to be the Division of Ag Ed, and now we're the Department of Agricultural and Technology Education. We partnered up with Tech Ed to try to figure out the most effective way to blend both of our expertises in this. And we're seeing it just evolve, even with the faculty we're hiring nowadays. You know, we're hiring folks with more maybe engineering backgrounds, and we're trying to help see what we can do to combine our efforts in ag.
I think the big thing that he's got a lot of students that weren't on a farm or ranch that are coming in and trying to learn what agriculture is. They've been part of FFA, maybe in a different state, but now we're teaching them what Montana, what we have to offer here, because it's the largest industry.
Go ahead, Rich. Yeah.
And we see that a lot in Kalispell. We've had a lot of folks come in. The valley's grown, and we got a lot of those kids that are not from a farm background necessarily, and they're coming in. And by the time they leave, they're well-rounded in not just, you know, the basic what we think of ag education, but also they have opportunities for ag welding and some serious industry technology there, vet science, natural resources, and the list goes on. I mean, they're getting a broad view experience.
Exactly. And that collision space that we're starting to see is precision ag, to be honest. You know, a lot of precision ag in the Midwest, and it's slowly starting to get here in Montana, and that's been a great way to blend some of those expertises in the technological applications and some of your more traditional production ag practices.
Dr. Dustin Perry, once again, from Montana State University. Also, Rich Darrow's with us, ag teacher in Kalispell, Montana Association of Agricultural Educators. And then from the Office of Public Instruction, it's Eric Kilman, an agricultural specialist. Joe.
Hey, folks, we talked a little earlier about how agriculture is changing within times, and also education. We'll have our teachers here at Montana State University will have to change as well. I think the idea, and there's a thought process, that precision agriculture will one day just be called agriculture. We will have to evolve and continue evolving in the classroom. And I want to throw the question back to our panel today of how are we teaching, new ideas, and how is that represented across our state?
I think one of the coolest things that we've been bringing into Montana is what is curriculum for agri-science education. So there is so much science based in our agricultural programs that a lot of schools are actually offering that as a science credit, as one of the basic levels. So kids are getting that high school credit that's counting for other stuff.
Yeah, I think along with that, you know, for example, I have a couple of classes that students receive college credit. And so just having that tie in, that piece, and also I think a huge part there is community, keeping community involved, bringing industry people in and saying, what do you need from us? And so they're giving us what they need in each specific industry for the kids to start picking up on.
Yeah, and I think we do pick up on both of what we're working on from OPI and from the schools in the state, especially when we start talking about the curriculum for ag science educators, the CASE curriculum. We're going to start training our pre-service ag teachers with that new curriculum starting next year. It's a very science-based curriculum. Again, it's really just trying to focus on the changing demands that our students are going to have. And then I think MSU also does a really great job of staying in contact with producers in the state. From their extension aspect and trying to make sure that we're connected with industry as well as producers and the research aspect.
Dr. Dustin Perry, once again. Eric Kilman, I'm going to go over to you. Growth in ag education has been, like I said, kind of exponential, hasn't it?
It has. Over the last 15 years, we've added over 30 programs. And one thing that we're kind of seeing with that big growth, we need more teachers in the programs. And there are a lot of schools. We had four schools that didn't fill an ag teacher last year. So if there's anybody that's in your community that has any background in ag business, horticulture, livestock, and wants to get a teaching degree, we have opportunities at OPI, which is the Class 4 endorsement, which is a teaching degree to get those industry people credentialed into the school.
Oh, cool. I mean, that's... that's a valuable piece of information, I think, for people to, because you do need teachers. And there are people out there who are thinking, well, I could be a teacher. I've got the skills and the knowledge. They don't want me.
Yeah, you don't have to have that bachelor's degree in education. We want people that are in industry. And that's a CTE Class 4 endorsement offered.
What do they get out of being ag education teachers, Rich?
Well, just first of all, being here representing the Montana Association of Ag Educators, we have our association. We welcome these folks in from the first year. We encourage them. We have a program within our association for first and second, third year teachers to get them off the ground and get them running. And, I mean, we're a close-knit group. We share resources, and it's just a great thing to get people started. And then what do you get? You get to work with some of the best people on the planet. These students are just wonderful individuals. We get to see them blossom into adults along with learning all these skills and getting all this knowledge. And it's just, they're just some of the best. I mean, on your worst day, you can go home and have your best day because you spent the day with these students that are just so bright and wonderful and incredibly intelligent.
That's a great endorsement. Dr. Perry, how are we teaching our teachers?
One of the biggest things we try to do at MSU is get them out in the state. We're very much so an experience-based program. Whenever students come visit MSU from across the country, we don't just give them here's our courses, here's how we go forward. We say, hey, here's the experiences you get while you're at Montana State University. Here's the experiences you're going to see within our department. And even better, here's the people you're going to meet. I think that's the biggest selling point that we have in Montana is that our undergraduates get to know the teachers in the state. Right from freshman, sophomore year when they come in, and then they get to know and experience what it's like to be a teacher, and they see the joy that those teachers have. And I think that's what I would say, what is it like to be a student there in our department? And I think it's just a fun time in ag ed because we're doing so many amazing things.
I think you should mention the signing. that we do for that.
Yes, last night, even talking about that, we had a signing day last night on stage where current high school students who get recognized of having that potential to be a future high school ag teacher, their teachers nominate them. We had 10 of them come up on stage last night, just like signing day with the sports team. They come up there, they get the ball cap, their parents sign on there, and make just as big a deal as we can, because it is a big deal to have them in.
Eric Tillman, you guys are delighted about that, aren't you?
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, to see that, yeah.
Yo, man, just to have that gap, you know, we need teachers. It's one of those that we can't get enough of them.
We're talking about education now. Dr. Dustin Perry is with us. He heads the Department of Agricultural and Technology Education at Montana State University. Eric Tillman with the Office of Public Instruction, former ag teacher as well, agricultural specialist there, and president-elect of the National Association.
The president this year.
The president. Yeah. So congratulations on that. Thanks for stepping into that leadership role, the National Association of Agricultural Educators. And on the Montana side of that is Rich Dara as well from Kalispell.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
I'm going to start with you, Rich. Give us that picture of a hands-on lesson plan, so to speak, that kids respond to, that imparts the values and the information on them.
Okay, yeah, and it's such a broad picture, but I'll kind of dabble in that a little bit. So starting with my ag welding classes, you know, just thinking through this, there's students that maybe struggle in school. School's not their thing. But man, they come out to our Ag Center and we have an opportunity to teach them hands-on skills, teach them real life things, and also just be a connection to that real world. We use a lot of industry connections. We bring community people in. But taking a student maybe that doesn't do well in school, getting them in a welding booth or hands-on a saw out in the wood shop or something like that, and that moment that they see that potential for them to have something they're good at, something they can do for a lifetime and make. And that's the even bigger part when we start introducing the, hey, here's the careers and here's the money you can make, man. That turns kids onto that really quick. but also the opportunity, you know, for my Ag 1 class. Here's freshman students coming out, maybe signed up for Ag and didn't really even have any idea what they were actually getting into. And they show up the first day. We tell them, hey, you're going to need some rubber boots and some coveralls. You know, we're going to get dirty. And so we take them from the classroom. We teach them some basic things. And we take them out and we start teaching them animal handling right in the fall. And they get their hands on real live animals, and some of these students have never done anything like this. And now they're starting to see there's opportunities out there besides just what they're learning in school on a regular basis.
Anybody want to respond to that, Eric?
I think one of the things that the teachers don't realize is the impact you have on those students, especially in the freshman year. I didn't know this when I was teaching at one point. I would always take kids to livestock judging competitions, and then all of a sudden, the kids were graduating and going across the stage, and one of their comments of their favorite memory of high school was going to a livestock judging contest as a freshman. But he never took my class any other time. But it was just that impact that we had right at the beginning.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. And Dr. Perry, anything to add about that?
Yeah, I think the impact is the great spot there, Mr. Tillman. That's what I get to see from the university side, is once they graduate, they become a senior, they really start to get into the classrooms across the state. And then the most rewarding part I get to see and the most impactful is when I see my previous students succeeding and making those connections with their students. It's just amazing circle and transformation that we get to witness.
I got a minute left here. Joe Lackman, I'm going to give you the final word on it. Thanks for helping us arrange this. I know you've been doing a lot of volunteer work for this convention. Good on you for that. We visited your farm out in the Hysham area, saw you guys operating. That was pretty cool as well. But, you know, there's a lot of value in this, especially as we talk about how kids are faced with a lot of different challenges today.
Tom, I want to throw it back to you. Thank you to Voices of Montana for highlighting our membership. We have some of the best students across our state here at Billings, at the Metro Concourse. And in fact, I think that is a lot of credit to our ag educators as well. We heard from the stories of their impact with their students, and I think many of them probably had an ag teacher in their lives that pushed them to take on this role and give back to the students that we have today. These folks are our heroes. When we look at them, we want to thank them. So thank you all. Thank you, Dr. Perry. Thank you, Eric, and also thank you, Rich. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate your impact on our students. It's truly special, and it's truly special to me. Tom, I'll throw it back to you to close.
Sometimes the most valuable thing is that appreciation, isn't it? And knowing that what you're doing has value and meaning. in life, in your life and in somebody else's life too. Dr. Perry, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. I look forward to checking up with you down the road too when precision agriculture is now agriculture, period.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent point. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for the work on that. And Rich Dara and Eric Tillman, good job, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.